to start by updating Thursday financial market conditions after the very busy Wednesday. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Yesterday, a decline of 372 points for the Dow Jones Industrial Average, minus 1.8%. The NASDAQ fell 158 points, 2.6%, the steepest decline for the NASDAQ since last June when Britain voted to leave the EU. In early trading today, things were mixed. The Dow was down about 15 points. The S&P 500 was down a point. The NASDAQ composite was up, but by less than a tenth of a percent. A lot of the activity was in the bond market. The 10-year yield was down at 2.21%. Just a week ago, it was up at 2.4%. Market watchers are saying this isn't about the economy. It's uncertainty about the future of taxes in the U.S., about deregulation of the financial system, about whether the government will spend on infrastructure. Diane Swonk is CEO of DS Economics in Chicago. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I guess market participants were reminded that intentions in Washington does not equal policy.
Exactly. It's kind of like the emperor's new clothes. We now realize there aren't any, and promises do not equate to execution. And there are a lot of promises bet on without taking into account the pace and scope at which even a united Washington can move forward on policy. Policymaking's messy, and it just got a lot messier, and many of the things that the markets was hoping would sort of be handed down to them almost like Christmas presents have now gone away.
Now, there is the Washington dynamic, there is the financial market dynamic, but there's also the real economy, and we learned today that people forced to sign up for unemployment benefits is at an amazing low, 20-something years here, 28 years, I think.
Exactly, and I think one of the things that we're seeing the competition on Wall Street is, although the sort of fantasy view of what could happen on policy and how fast it could happen, the good news is the underlying economy has momentum, and so much momentum the Fed is considering raising rates multiple times in a year rather than just once or not at all in a year. On the other side, wages are starting to pick up, and for financial markets, a late expansion means that wage share instead of profit share is going to increase as we move forward.
It's a good news story if you're getting those paychecks, though, right, Diane?
And that's what we care about most in the overall economy, exactly. Been a long time in coming.
Diane Swonk, CEO of DS Economics in Chicago. Thank you.
Thank you.
The remaining members of what would have been the Trans-Pacific Partnership will meet this weekend in Vietnam to bring this trade deal back from the dead if they can. Marketplace's Andy Euler reports even without the U.S. in the mix now, there's still a desire to get something done.
Trade ministers from the 11 remaining TPP countries, including Japan, Australia, Singapore, and Vietnam, will be in Hanoi for the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Meeting, and they're going to try to hammer out this trade deal. Shihoko Goto is with the Wilson Center's Asia program.
The exciting thing about Hanoi is that this conversation is coming up again.
She says there's momentum to establish rules on things like environmental protection, intellectual property laws, and issues involving financial services, technology, and telecom, something the U.S. has been advocating for years. Services account for 3/4 of the U.S. GDP.
This would be of great interest to the United States down the line should there be a change of heart.
Because this new iteration of the TPP would be an open agreement, the U.S. could eventually join. Wei-Yu Shi teaches political science at the University of California, San Diego. She says, who knows? If the TPP became powerful enough, China might sign on too.
Then China will have to be bound by these terms as well.
China has been reluctant to establish international rules on things like state-owned enterprises and labor laws. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
A developing story we're following, a published report that the Trump administration is planning to cut nearly $11 billion from public schools and other education initiatives, with about 4% or $400 million of that money going toward charter schools and religious schools. The Washington Post obtained those documents. Onto a separate part of the federal budget, funding of scientific research. Reporter Ari Daniel has our story.
A very sophisticated microscope churns to life.
It's great technology for actually watching molecules moving around inside a living neuron.
Avital Rodal is a biologist at Brandeis University who studies, among other things, diseases like Lou Gehrig's and Alzheimer's. She uses this microscope to do her work, and it didn't run cheap.
Around $800,000.
Rodal compares running her lab to a small business. Her budget for salaries, equipment, overhead, and travel runs about $700,000 a year. A good chunk of that money comes from grants from federal agencies like the National Institutes of Health. But the Trump administration's proposal would cut the NIH budget by 18%, which has Rodal worried.
Uncertainty means that you can't hire people or you can't start a new project. Uncertainty means not funding new scientific ideas.
Ben Hamlington shares Rodal's concerns. He's an oceanographer at Old Dominion University, where he studies sea level rise. He's on the hook to bring in $500,000 a year to keep his lab running. And most of that money comes from NASA.
Yes, I think climate change and sea level rise type work will come under extra scrutiny just because of the political nature of it.
The president's budget plan seeks to reduce funding for NASA's Earth science missions and grants. Hamlington anticipates more competition for fewer resources and a hit to student funding. NASA declined to comment for this story. The NIH wrote that it's had a, quote, long history of bipartisan support and stands ready to work with the administration to improve people's health. Meanwhile, Hamlington is looking for money elsewhere. And when his students ask for advice, he tells them to do good work. In Boston, I'm Ari Daniel for Marketplace.
And there's news this morning that online sales were up 63% at Walmart. Quarterly profits beat expectations in early trading. Stock in the largest private employer in America was up about 1.8%. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.